I pray, Lord, through this sharing of the word this morning, that we will hear what we must hear, God, each one of us. Open our eyes to see you, God. Open our ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone. It's good to see all of you here. And it's special to, just to worship. It's special just to come together like this and to sing to God and to sing His praises. I was thinking, actually, this morning of the pastor that preached a message, and the lady came to him afterwards and said, "Pastor, that was so good." And he said, "It was only God." And she said, "It was not that good." So I just trust, as I share this morning, that each one of us, you will receive something, what I believe God wants to share with us this morning. Thank you, Jandre. Thank you for the band and the volunteers, and to make possible that we can live stream and get the message out. And thank you for coming. It's a privilege for us to walk with one another and to follow after God. So 2 weeks ago, Siko was here speaking about rest. And the quote that I liked, it says, "Rest is not a holiday." I think after this year, many of us, we just want to get to another break. It was quite intense. It's lockdown, and then out of lockdown, many things to trust God for, many things standing in faith for, and now we're running and we're trying to build again and get things almost back to normal, but it's a new normal, and so many things are happening. And I was just thinking about this thing about rest. Rest in God, rest in God's presence. And that's where I got to this message of paths of grace. The theologians call it paths of grace. Things that we can do to be in that space with God, where we are refreshed in God's presence. And I trust that this will speak to us. I trust that each one of us, we will get something out of this. And as we go into the end of this year, that we will walk in these paths of grace and really be refreshed in God's presence. I remember 2 years ago, I took my motorbike, and I went into the Cederberg for 4 days, all by myself, and I thought, this is now going to be the ultimate break from everything. And I came back, it was amazing, but I came back and I thought, I missed something. In all of this, I missed something. And then I realized God is just calling me back, just to sit at His feet, just to read the Word, to put on that music, to worship, sit at His feet. And that's where I'm refreshed again, to be able to walk forward. Now grace, the word grace, we find it, some say 156 times in the New Testament. So don't count it now. I can do it at home. So it's unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. God's grace. Unmerited favor that God has given us. Mercy is God not punishing us for what we deserve. Mercy. Grace is unmerited favor. We're receiving things that we shouldn't get. And the biggest example of God's grace is Jesus. That's the biggest example, that we can have a relationship with Jesus through faith in Jesus. That's the ultimate grace that's available to each one of us. Hebrews 4 verse 16 said, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Also Titus 2, "For the grace of God has appeared," Jesus, "bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, was zealous for good works." So that's a lot. That's a lot in there. But that's the ultimate expression of grace, Jesus. And when we meet Jesus, when we saw and realize what he's done for us, it does something in our hearts. And I know that sometimes we must get back to that place, that first love. I'm just thinking about that myself and say, Lord, I want to get back to that day when I decided to follow you. When I stood on the beach, it was a camp, my final year of school. Every time when I say my final year of school, it sounds like I've spent so many years in school. But it was just a normal number of years. I stood there and I looked at the cross. There was a cross on the beach. And in that moment, for the first time, I just realized Jesus, what he's done. He died on the cross for my sin. So I had many battles at the time and going through things. And it was as if I could stand there and say, Lord, I just want to follow you. And I'm just going to lay down all these battles and give over to you. And after that, the first time I stood in the church in Goodwood that Sunday, and I said to the guys, I decided to follow Jesus. Before that, we put up my hand often, but then I didn't want to tell everybody. I just thought I can just put up my hand and then sit in the corner, and it's okay. But after that day, on that beach, I said, I can tell people. I want to tell them. And that was the start of this journey, of this relationship with God. And I pray that, I know we are followers of Jesus, but I pray that we will get back to our first love. We'll say, wow, we understand and see again Jesus, how amazing he is. So in the New Testament, we see Jesus taking a journey to Jerusalem. Now, John wrote about many journeys of Jesus, more than the Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But this particular journey, we see it in all the Gospels, but the events is a little bit in a different order. But what's so special about this journey, I put a map there. It's like Jesus traveled from the north. He's going down to Jerusalem. It was his final journey to Jerusalem. The final time that he's going, you know, he's going to get crucified. He even told his disciples, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that's written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. And yet they didn't understand all these things. But as they journeyed down, they got to this, they're in the middle where there's a little block, and the Samaritans, they refused Jesus to pass through Samaria. Interesting, at another place in the Gospels where Jesus traveled from Judea north, his disciples said to him, don't go through Samaria, rather go the normal route. Because we Jews, we don't go through Samaria, we go around, we go over the Jordan River and up to Galilee. And then Jesus said, no, I need to go through Samaria. And that's where we read about the woman at the well and that amazing story and how Jesus redeemed everything at that place of that encounter. But this time he's coming from the north, and the Samaritans, they said to him, no. And when you read the scripture, the disciples, they now have seen a little bit more about Jesus. They said, Lord, maybe we must just ask fire to come down and destroy this place. Almost like in the movies. We just nuke them and go on. And Jesus said, no, no, no. Let's just take a detour. And on this detour, he went over, he came down Perea, he came over the river again, the Jordan River, and then he goes into Jericho. And that's where we get two encounters, Bartimaeus, the blind man, and Zacchaeus. And I quickly want to read for us just those two encounters. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging, and hearing a crowd going by, inquired what this meant. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He cried, not like that. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. And he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy. And Jesus stopped, and he commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, this is for me always this on the side. So amazing. And Jesus still asked him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man. What do you want me to do for you? Obviously, Jesus knew. And he said, Lord, let me recover my sight. Jesus said to him, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. Immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people gave praise to God. And then Jesus entered Jericho, and he was passing through, Luke 19, and there was a man named Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector, was rich. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. Again, he wanted to see this Jesus. He heard the stories, but on account of the crowd, he could not. He couldn't get close, so he ran on ahead, climbed up a sycamore tree, for he knew Jesus was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. I know that will freak out a few people. If we just walk past and say, I'm coming for dinner right now. I know Lee would like a little bit more preparation time. So he hurried and came down and received them joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Two remarkable incidents. Both of guys that they wanted to meet Jesus. They wanted to have to see Jesus. They wanted to have this encounter with Jesus. Interesting, both times the crowd tried to stop them. Tried to keep them away. And they're just pressing through. So they were on this road where Jesus was passing through. And that's where many people start talking and sharing about this term, paths of grace. We're in a path where Jesus is passing. And there anything can happen. I just imagine, I've shared it before, Zacchaeus, after he had this encounter of Jesus, going to people's homes and giving them tax refunds. So now he's going and he said he's going to repay them four times. So just imagine Zacchaeus coming to your house and he's putting down a bag of money and he say, that's yours. And you'd say, why do you want to give all of this back? He said, I had an encounter with Jesus. I dined with Jesus. He came to my house. And you'll maybe say, but what has that to do with anything? And maybe you would have said that maybe as I grew up, I thought money is everything. I thought money will make me happy. I thought money will just fulfill me. It will be everything for me. But what I saw in my home with Jesus and his disciples, they didn't worry about all the stuff. They didn't worry about money. They didn't worry about... They were just content. Just now just thinking about it. And they say, maybe... When I looked at them, I realized that they've got something that I don't have. They are content. They've got God. And I thought I'm rich. But maybe I'm poor. Maybe they are rich. And it was in that moment that I decided to pay back the money. And I think some of those guys, when they got their money, the tax refunds, maybe some of them would have said in their homes, maybe we must go and hear from this Jesus. Maybe we must go and find out more about this Jesus. Because clearly, Zacchaeus is a new man. Clearly, he's doing something different. And that's often what happens in our lives as well. We have these encounters with Jesus, and it changed something on the inside, and it makes us do something different, and it just come and give us a new perspective that the things that we were holding on to, it's not so important anymore. We call it idols. A good thing that became the ultimate thing. Something that we think will give us the satisfaction, it will give us life, It's become idols, and idols can be anything that you think will satisfy you or give you the fulfillment or give you joy. It takes up many forms. But I know, and I think, and you know, I know when there's something in my life that where I just run to that thing when I feel down and it's not God, then that thing is taking the place of time with God. It's robbing us. And it will never fulfill us. And I think that just as Zacchaeus that day in his house with the encounter of Jesus, even us, we will realize that, wow, this thing is not satisfying. This is not satisfying. But when we get to these paths of grace, it's not something that we can do to get. It's grace. It's unmerited favor. And I just want to read for us what Don Whitney in his book Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, he said, think of spiritual disciplines as ways we can place ourselves in the path of God's grace and seek Him as Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus placed himself in Jesus' path and sought Him. We cannot force Jesus' hand, but we can put ourselves in this place along the path of grace. We can be at places just expectant, just waiting on God. And we must say, what are these paths of grace today for us? What are this path that where we can position ourselves? And John Frame, in his book Systematic Theology, he organized the path of grace under three headings. He said, word, prayer, fellowship. And he said, this way of categorizing the means of grace is close to Luke's summary of an early church life in Acts 2:42, where he said, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the word, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and prayers. Now, these are things that we get almost like used to. Praying, worship, prayer. It's almost like you go to the doctor, he tells you, you must exercise, you must eat right, and you think, yeah, I know that. And then we just go on. And next time you get there, they ask you, so do you exercise? Do you eat healthy? Do you sleep enough? Yeah, I'm trying. We don't worry about it so much. But even though these things are maybe in our spiritual sense or in our Christian walk, it seems like ordinary things. This is powerful things. This is life. This is life. J.C. Ryle, he wrote a book about holiness. He said, the means of grace are such as Bible reading, private prayer, regular worshiping God in church, wherein one hears the word taught and participates in the Lord's Supper. I lay it down as a simple matter of fact that no one who is careless about such things must ever expect to make much progress in sanctification. I can find no record of any eminent saint who ever neglected them. This is what he wrote in his book. Is that they are appointed channels through which the Holy Spirit conveys fresh supplies of grace to the soul and strengthens the work which He has begun in the inward man. Our God is a God who works by means, and He will never bless the soul of that man who pretends to be so high and spiritual that he can get on without them. The basics of the Christian life, spiritual disciplines. And this morning after I heard Seiko speaking about rest and finding rest and refreshment in spending time with Jesus, that led me to these things, back to the spiritual disciplines, back to the foundations of things that of the prayer, spending time in the Word, worship, fellowship. And I want to appeal to each one of us to just look at these things and the value of it and the value that we give it and how we're structuring our lives around these things at the moment. Because it's in these moments when we pray, worship, reading the Word, these are the paths of grace. And often we will hear God speaking to us as we spend time doing these things. Often that's the time when we will get an answer from the Lord. Often that's the time when we will find peace again. Often that's the time when we will connect with God again. Often that's the time when something will jump out of the word or in prayer, where God can just come and tell us anything. And it will change our lives. It will change us. It will change us. And through these paths of grace, we will grow spiritually. We will connect with God. We will be prepared. We will know what's coming. I know often in my life, just quiet time, just spending time with the Lord, I receive thoughts of things that's going to happen or a warning. It prepared me for what is to come. It prepared me. That's just one of the examples of how God is busy in working on this path of grace. And we might think that it's not so impressive or it's not so important, but when we don't give it the necessary attention, often we will find our lives drifting away from the Lord. And you might think, what's going on? It feels like I'm not connecting with God. It feels like I'm not hearing the Lord. But often we can bring it back to the spiritual disciplines of just spending time with the Lord and walking in these paths of grace. But through all of this, through everything that I've said in the scriptures, everything, the greatest reward, the greatest thing that we can get still is to know Jesus. We don't do it to get stuff. It's this, these spiritual disciplines are part of our lives. But in doing it, the greatest end of it all is to know Jesus. Philippians 3 verse 8 said, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And John 17 verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That is the best reward. That is the best outcome of any of this, is to know Jesus. To spend time with Jesus. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. And this is what I pray that will keep us going. Let us know, Hosea 6 verse 3, let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. Let us press on to know the Lord. Let us never say that we've come to a place where we've arrived. That's such a scary thought. When someone tells me they arrived, they're there. I think there's so much more. We only know in part, but there's an invitation, amazing invitation that God wants to reveal himself to us all the time. It's actually something that set Christianity apart from any other religion, where our God wants to have an intimate relationship with us. He wants to reveal himself to us. He wants us to know him more and more. He's reaching out to us first before anything else, before we come to him. Knowing and enjoying Jesus is the final end of hearing his voice, of reading his word, of belonging to his body, the church. And I want us to really consider this as we go into the end of this year and as we're finishing up almost and looking forward to the next year, let us spend time in this path of grace. Let us make it priority in our lives. Not for what we can get. There will be something. As we pray, as we worship, as we fellowship, as we spend time with the Word, we will receive, but that's not why we're doing it. We want to know Jesus. We want to connect with Jesus. And our spiritual growth, it's just an amazing side effect of it all. It's an amazing, marvelous effect of this. So I want to invite you again to consider your lives. That's what I'm doing. I'm doing the same as we reflect on the year past. A lot of things happened. It almost pushed us in certain directions, made certain demands, put a new normal in place. But let's consider our rhythms again, how we do what we do, our time with the Lord, because that's life. John Piper, he wrote in his book, The Essence of the Christian Life, he said, where the grace keeps passing, we need to learn to fight for joy in a way that does not replace grace. We cannot earn God's grace or make it flow apart from his free gift, but we can position ourselves to go on getting as he keeps on giving. We cannot do these things just to get stuff and to go into where it feels like duty. I pray this morning that we can move from duty to delight. From just feel that we must do things to say, wow, God, it's amazing to be in your presence. I delight in you, Lord. It's amazing to see new things, to experience these mysteries of who you are, to experience blessings, to experience just you through this path of grace. I just want us to stand. I'm going to ask John Ray to come forward and just to play a song for us. And maybe each one of us, we can just reflect on this, or maybe just in your own words, just speak to the Lord. I pray that as we go, that we can say, Lord, I want to move from duty to delight. I want to move from duty to delight. I don't want to do these things that's part of this path of grace. I really want it to be grace and not works, unmerited favor. Let's reflect on that and maybe just respond in your own words to the Lord. Bring him your heart again. Connect with him. If you're here this morning and you feel that you've drifted, you feel that you are far away from God, I want to invite you. I would like to pray with you. I would like to pray with you to start new, to start fresh. That's the beauty of the Lord, the God we serve. He's a redeemer, he's a savior, he makes right. He's not intimidated by our stuff and that's what's going on in our lives. But every time there's a new invitation. Every time there's a new invitation to walk with him and to come to him and to surrender. Maybe that's you this morning that you just want again to come and to say, Lord, rekindle my love for you. Rekindle my love, God. Maybe you've never made that decision. Then I would love to pray with you. Say, Lord, I want to follow you. Help me, God. Save me. Let's just there where you stand. Just pray, just speak to the Lord. Maybe you want to pray with someone next to you. Maybe you just something got stirred in your heart this morning and you just want to mention it to something, and I really want to invite you to just take a moment and respond to this word.